I ask you to turn with me to the book of Malachi. It's the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 1. As you're turning there, just a few thoughts about Malachi. And it'd just be a few, because we don't know anything about Malachi. We know nothing about him other than the Lord inspired him to write these four chapters as they've been divided up. We understand him to be the last one that God used to write his written word for a total of about 400 years after this. There was no open communication between God and his people. Can you imagine 400 years of not hearing from God? How dark that time must have been. But the very last thing that God inspired Malachi to write was of the coming Redeemer, of the coming Messiah, that he was to come. And he also told that there would be one that would come before him, the harbinger, John the Baptist, referred to as Elijah in this particular one. But Jesus cleared that up to let us know that it was not Elijah, but it was John the Baptist. Not that Malachi made a mistake, but in the spirit of Elijah, John the Baptist came to speak concerning Jesus. I want to look at chapter 1 in the first 5 verses. And I've had this on my heart for 2 weeks. I didn't get to preach last week, so it's been on my heart during that time, and just didn't go away. So I trust it's of the Lord. But I warn you now that I've been trying to pare it down, because every time I look at it, something else comes into my mind. So I pray that God will keep me on track with this. Okay. Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Now this next question is God replying back to them. It's a dialogue between the two. Israel said, where have you loved us? God says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, Edom and Esau are one and the same, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning as we look for just a few moments concerning the struggle that takes place in every child of God. The struggle between the inner man, which is the spiritual man, and the outer, or the natural, or the carnal man. Every child of God has those two natures. Every child of God has a daily struggle that we go through where that those two fight against one another. Can we understand that in every one of us there is a fight going on every single day? And sometimes one side wins out over the other, or so it seems, or in such a way that it's manifested that it is. But ultimately, I want to say this and get it the groundwork for it. Ultimately, the spirit man will win, because that is the part of us that is born of God. That is the part of us that will enter into heaven's glory. That being said, I struggle for a title of the message this morning, and I settled on a question. Does God really love me? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever wondered? Have you ever thought within yourself, Maybe you didn't ask it in that way. Maybe you didn't ask it in, does God really love me? But maybe you asked the question, how could God love me? That seems to be the question that the devil puts into my mind more often than not, is how could God possibly love a sinner like Steve Taylor? And yet the absolute truth of the matter is that God, by His grace and by His mercy, not because of, but in spite of everything that I am, my God loves me. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that in your heart and mind, that my God loves me? I hope you can. And if you can't before the day, before the message is over, then come talk to me. But I pray that you'll be able to come to that settling thought in your heart and your mind this morning. My God loves me. He loves me. Can you be comfortable in that? Or do you want to fight against Him? Do you want to struggle against Him? Do you want to try to prove yourself to be worthy that God would love you? Can I just stop you right now and say you can't do it? You cannot prove yourself to be worthy of God's love. We can't prove ourselves to be worthy of a love that is beyond anything that we can even begin to imagine to begin with. I said I had so many different ways I wanted that came into my mind. I want to come back to this thought now. Does God really love me? Starts out by saying this is the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. By Malachi, it's from God through Malachi to Israel. The word burden, sometimes we use that word burden in a negative light. And sometimes it is in a negative light. Sometimes we feel so burdened of heart. We feel so heavy of heart. We feel weighed down by the things of life that are going on around us. Can I tell you that God never, this is God's word, right? So it's God speaking through Malachi, and God has a burden. Can I tell you that the things of life never weighs God down? So that word burden does not mean in a negative light when God says that I have a burden that I'm going to share with you through my prophet Malachi. But rather that word burden there is a desire to lift up. When a pastor receives a call from a church, it's often expressed, I have a burden for such and so church. I have a burden to go and to preach the word there. And so, and I'm not saying this to say that I've got a burden somewhere else. My burden is right here. My desire is right here to lift you up by the word of God. And that word to lift up doesn't necessarily mean that God makes us feel good every time that we hear it. Sometimes to lift us up, we got to put away the weight that has weighed us down. We got to put off the things that we've allowed to accumulate in our lives that are weighing us down and causing us to miss the blessings of just simply rejoicing that my God loves me. Can we lay that down? Can we lay everything else down just to rejoice in that one simple thought? My God loves me. And the next question is, who's your God? There are gods many in this world with a little g. There are idols many. There are things that we lift up in a place that we worship them. Oh, I would never worship something that is an idol. Do we not? There are times that we put anything that we put above God is an idol.
Amen.
Anything. Even if it's in my own perception, my own ideas, my own desires, my own will, my own way, that can become an idol to us, and therefore we begin to worship even our own desires above the will of God. We have an idol in our life. So God is saying through Malachi, I've got a desire to tell you something that is going to affect you in such a way that will change your life forever. If somebody came to you and said, I've got a product that will change everything about you. I'm just going to sidestep for just a minute. I started going to a particular doctor a few months ago. And that doctor told me, he said, I've got some drops that you'll put in your ear and it'll change everything about you. Some of you know who I'm talking about. I still put those drops in my ears every once in a while. It hasn't changed everything about me, but I have seen some improvements, so I still do it. If somebody tells you, I've got a world-changing idea, don't you sit up and listen? What is it? What can you do that will tell me something that will improve my life? God says, I'm going to tell you something that will change your life and improve your life for the better forever, for all eternity. What is it? I love you. Can you feel the effect of that? Can you feel the effect of God saying to you, I love you? If nothing else changes us, those three words should change the whole course of our life forever. And that's the burden, that's the desire that God had for the nation of Israel. I have a desire to tell you something. Will you listen to me? I love you. And you would think that their response to that would be, yes, God loves me. But what was their response? We use Steve's version now. But it was, oh yeah, how have you loved us? What have you done to show your love for us? Can you imagine asking God that? And yet they did. In verse 2, I've loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? How have you loved us? When have you loved us? To what degree have you loved us? He said, let me tell you, there were two brothers. One was named Jacob, and the other was named Esau. And Esau was the oldest. Esau stood in line to receive every blessing. But I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. I passed over Esau to give the blessing to the younger, so that that blessing would filter down right down to this point in time when Malachi is speaking of the coming Messiah. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Now, I come to the crux of my message today. Not to the ending, but to the crux of it. Jacob represents the spiritual man. Esau represents the natural man. Jacob represents that part of us that was born again, that was changed. Remember how Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel? Jacob was changed from one that would try to get his own way and make his own way to life to a man that had power with God. Can we understand this morning that the true power that we have in our lives to be more than conquerors, to be overcomers, to be prosperous in the will of God, the only power that we have to be able to do that comes from within, as in the inner man that God has born again. That's where our power comes from. You don't have the reasoning power to deduce anything in life. You don't have the reasoning power to be able to say 2 + 2 = 4. Do you know where that power comes from to be able to understand that? Comes from God. 1 + 1 = 2. That knowledge comes from God. Everything about us that is good, it comes from God. It comes from the spiritual side of us. It comes into the spiritual, and said, Jesus said, out of your bellies, out from within you shall flow rivers of living water. Every blessing that we have begins as God feeds the inner man, and it flows through into the natural. Israel is the spiritual. It's of God. Esau, or Edom, is of the natural. It's of man. Do you remember what happened between Jacob and Esau after that God blessed Jacob? There was a warfare that went on. A battle went on. Until the two came into an agreement. Once the two came into an agreement, then there was peace. Keep your hand right there. I'm coming back. But turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. The New Testament, Romans chapter 8. I know I'm kind of going back and forth with this, but I pray when I come to the end that it'll all come together and make sense of what I'm trying to say. We have within us the spiritual, and we have the natural. We have that part of us that's born again of God. We have that part that's born of man. We have the flesh, the carnal, the natural, however you want to say it. And we have the spiritual. Romans chapter 8. I encourage you to read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to pick out three verses. Verses 7 and 8. Let me start with 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You ask any 10 people you meet on the street, what is the most important thing in life that you're looking for? They may have different answers that they give you, but it'll all come down to one thing. We're all looking for peace, aren't we? I'm not talking about world peace. I'm talking about peace within us. We're all looking for something that will give us contentment, that will give us satisfaction, that will give us fulfillment. And what does that give us? It gives us peace. Well, right here he says, to be carnally minded, to be ruled by the natural mind, will bring nothing but separation from that peace. He uses the word death, but he's talking about being separated from the peace of God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's the fulfillment of everything that we're looking for comes in being spiritually minded. Now, spiritually minded does not mean that I can spout scripture off to you. I can spout scripture off to you and not be one iota of being spiritual. I can quote scripture to you day after day after day, but if I can't apply what that means in my own life, I'm not spiritual. I'm showing you what my mind knows. My mind has that scripture memorized. But God says the burden that I have for you is not in your mind, it's in your heart. It's not the mental aspect of Christianity, it's the spiritual aspect that He's looking for. It's the heart. God deals with the heart. Satan deals in the mind. Why is that so? Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. I'm just going to go back to that, what I just used. If I can just quote scripture and scripture and scripture, what I'm doing is I'm puffing myself up to show you what I know. I'm going to tell you, God's not impressed with what I know. He's not impressed that I can say to you, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And I want to tell you, you cannot have peace without pleasing God. And you cannot please God without faith. And faith is dependence upon Him and not myself. If my dependence is upon Steve, I'll never have peace. I'll assure you of that. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Again, he uses that word die and death. He's talking about being separated. Separated. But if you through the Spirit, and that's a capital S, it's the Spirit of God. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, he says here, going back to Malachi, taking that, Romans placing it on top of this. He says, if you want to live like Esau, you're going to be separated from the blessings of God just as Esau was. You live like Jacob, and my mind goes to Jacob before. I don't want to live like Jacob before. Jacob before was one who had to have his own way, wanted his own way, wanted to do it his way, wanted to receive it his way, wanted everything his way, until God got a hold of him and he wrestled with him. He even wrestled with God all night because he didn't want to give up on self. And finally, God put him to a point where he had to depend upon God. And at that point, when he had to depend upon God, God began to pour out his blessings upon him and changed his name to having power with God. Not power over God, but power with God. Now, do I want to be like Jacob and have power with God? Or do I want to be like Esau and say, I think I can make it my own way? I start saying, I don't know about you, but I do know about you. If you've tried to make it your own way, you know you can't do it. I dare say every one of us have tried to have it our own way, and it just doesn't work. And there's a reason for that. Because our way is contrary to God's way. It just won't work. Okay, he says, they said, how have you loved us? Here he says, let me tell you. I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau. I went back and I really stopped to think about the blessing that Jacob received. If you remember the story, and let me just capture it real quick for you. Isaac and Rebekah had twin sons. Esau, Jacob. I say Esau first because Esau was born first. Esau and Jacob. Twin sons. Esau stood in line for the birthright, but he sold it to Jacob for a bowl of soup. Give me a bowl of soup, give me an instant gratification, you can have anything that's left over. Do we ever sell our spiritual aspect of life for something for the immediate? Just give me an immediate fix and it'll be okay. And the thing about an immediate fix is 5 minutes later, it's not immediate anymore. 5 minutes later, it leaves you wanting more and more and more of things that will leave you more empty, more empty, more empty. So I went back and I looked at that. And Jacob did receive the blessing from Isaac. And the blessing from Isaac, I'm just going to read part of it. You can find it in Genesis chapter 27. I'm just going to read part of it. The blessing from Isaac to Jacob, God to Jacob through Isaac said, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. God give you. After that God, God blessed Jacob, Esau came in, he found out what had happened, found out that he had been tricked, his daddy had been tricked, and his blessing had been given to Jacob, which you go back and Esau sold it, so he really didn't have anything to say. But he had sold it and it was given to Jacob. And he said, Father, don't you have something for me? Don't you have a blessing for me? And listen to the blessing that was given to Esau. Behold, thy dwelling shall be. There's a big difference between God giving you something and God allowing you to live there. There's a big difference between owning it and just being there. I read that and I thought about the old gospel song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passenger. And another one, it just has become one of my favorites. I just stopped by on my way home. I'm on my way home. I know the timing of this may not be just exact. Well, it has to be. It's God's timing. We're here just temporarily. And yet so many times we want to think that the way of Esau is the way that we need to be. So many times we want to think you grab all the gusto that this world has to offer. And many times have you seen people partaking of things of this world and saying, man, this is the life. And I say to you, man, it's not the life. The life is in Jesus Christ. And when we're in Christ and we're enjoying the things of this world, He has given us the blessings of this world. He's given us the blessings through the spiritual aspect of it. Not through the mental, not through the carnal, not through the natural, not through the world. And I'm setting all this up because when I come to the end, it's going to be so simple that you'll say, he said all that to say this. I really got something to say to you this morning. Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the Father's good pleasure to let you dwell in it. That's not what He said. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of all righteousness and peace and joy. I go back. You ask 10 people, what is it you're looking for in life? Oh, I need something that'll just give me peace. Can I tell you about Jesus? He's the one. And it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. Not just to give you a little inkling of it. To give you everything about it. That's why He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. But I'm going to tell you, if we're seeking for all the other things and not the kingdom, we're going to miss the true blessings of life. And there are children of God today that are wandering around looking and longing and needing and trying to find it everywhere else. But it's only found in Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that true peace is only found in Jesus Christ? And it's not just found in knowing about Him. It's found in knowing Him and having a relationship with Him. A walking, talking, working relationship with Jesus Christ. He's not just an idea. He's not just something that's thrown out there. He is a person. He is my Lord. He is my God. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And He says, come here. Come here. Come to me. Are you laboring? Is there something bothering you? Is there something troubling you? Are you looking for peace in all the wrong places? Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Let me tell you where it's found. It's found in Jesus. And only in Jesus Christ. And if you try to find it any other way, you're going to miss it. I'm not talking about going to heaven now. If the blood of Christ was shed for you, you're in heaven. But I'm telling you, there's a heaven on earth that we miss because we're trying to find all these things out here. I want, I wish, I want it to be this way. I want myself to receive. I. And I'm going to tell you, I don't work. It just doesn't work. I was reading this, and I came down to that point where after God says, I love you, He came down to a place where Esau made a statement. Esau said, I'm going to build it again. Have you ever experienced where that your spirituality just seems to have been choked out? Have you ever come to a point in your life where that all these things just choked out? Everything that really matters to you. If you haven't, God bless you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. But if you have, if you've ever been to that point where that your spiritual life just seemed to have settled away from you, Edom was rebuilding. The flesh was rebuilding. The flesh won't go down easy. That's why there's a struggle. That's why there's a battle. A constant going between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. God says this, but
Anytime you put a but in God's word that He didn't put there, you're on dangerous ground. Anytime you say, I know that God said for me to do this, but watch out. You're going down the wrong road right there. I know God told me that I can't, but I want to. It doesn't matter what you want. It's what does God say about it. I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, the reason that our nation is in the situation and circumstances that it begins in each individual heart wanting my way and not God's way. It's time we go back to God's way. Because the longer that we settle for the way of the world, the more the weeds are going to grow and choke out what really matters. The wise man Solomon said, I walked by a field one day, and you'll find this in Proverbs chapter 24. He says, but I walked by a field one day, and I saw this beautiful stone fence, or what had been at one time a beautiful stone fence. But as I looked at that stone fence, it had been torn down. And do you know what tore it down? Weeds. Weeds tore it down. You think there's nothing that can come in my relationship to my Lord? Be careful of the little foxes. Be careful of the little weeds. Be careful of the things that begin to spring up inside of us, that the end of those things are a separation from the fellowship and peace and joy that is only in Jesus Christ. Be careful of those things. God is speaking in our nation. I hear it from other pastors. I even hear it when I turn on some on television and I listen to what they're saying, and I see this same message coming out all across our nation. It's time that we turn back to God. And I don't mean it's time that they in Washington turn back. I'm saying it's time that I turn back to God. It's time that you turn back to God. It's time that we walk back in the paths that God has laid down for us and forget the ways of the world. Because if not, I assure you that those little weeds that just look so innocent to begin with, they grow. They grow up, they root down. And the more they root down, the harder it is to pick them up. And the more they grow up, the more damage it does, to the point where that one little weed can weave its way through a stone fence and tear it down. So what are we to do? What are we to do? What are some of those weeds? What are those things that can separate us? Well, things such as anger. Things such as envy. Things as lust. Things as jealousy. The list goes on and on and on, that begins to grow inside of us. And the next thing you know, it's got taken such root in our lives that it has torn down the very thing that we felt safe within. Because I'm going to tell you, there's only one place of safety. There's only one place of refuge. And it's the same place of peace. His name is Jesus. There is no other. There is no other. God said, I loved you. And that's not a past tense. I have loved you. It's an ongoing love. They said, how have you loved us? I'm going to tell you, the question this morning in my mind is not, how has God loved me? My question to myself this morning is, how have I loved Him? How have I shown my love to Him? Have I shown my love to Him? If I haven't, then God have mercy on me. If I haven't shown just exactly what He means. I mean, you think about it. I have loved you, saith the Lord. What more could you want? I love that old song, How Firm a Foundation. What more could He do than that which He has done? What a firm foundation God has given to us, and yet we want to build off over here in the world. We want to go over here where it suits us a little bit more than what God has said. How did God love us? Go back 2,000 years ago. To a hill outside of Jerusalem. A hill called Golgotha.
referred to as the hill of Calvary. I started to say, look at three crosses, but don't look at three, look at one. The middle cross. The cross upon which Jesus Christ died for you. Something hit me yesterday when Brother Bill was speaking. When he read the scripture that Christ died for us. And that really jumped out at me. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ took my place. I'm the one that should have been on that cross. Christ died for me. How could I ever ask God, how have you loved me? How could I possibly ever doubt the love that God has for me? And if I don't doubt His love for me, how could I ever withhold anything that would show my love for Him? How could I ever in any way deny to my Lord any opportunity that I would have to say, I love Jesus? Does God love you this morning? Does He? Does God love you? Do you love Him? That's a legitimate question. It really is. Do you love Him? I'm not asking, how I love Jesus. I'm not saying, do you say, I love Jesus. I'm asking, do you, in your heart, love Jesus Christ? Have you had the opportunity to express that love but denied it? Have you had the opportunity to stand up and say, yes, I love Jesus. And I want the world to know that I love Jesus. I know I'm not preaching my normal sermon this morning. I want to tell you, maybe it's time that we get a little abnormal. Maybe it's time we are a little different. Maybe it's time that we're bold in our love for Jesus Christ. Because in case you haven't noticed it, the world is getting more and more and more bold in declaring their hate for Jesus. You just turn on any news channel and you'll see them having every opportunity and taking every opportunity that they can to say, I don't want God in my life, and I don't want God in my nation, and I don't want God in your life. But you know what? They can want all they want to. God loves me. And I'm going to declare it. How about you?